This is the feast of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The epistle for this first Mass is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God, our Savior, has appeared to all men, instructing us in order that, rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people, pursuing good works. Thus speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. At that time, a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census of the whole world should be taken. This first census took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all were going, each to his own town, to register. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the town of Nazareth into Judea to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to register together with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, that the days for her to be delivered were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same district living in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they feared exceedingly. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men of goodwill." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In past years, I have spoken to you regarding Christmas as the Feast of Light. Then I spoke on other times about Christmas as the Feast of Hope. And then again, as the Feast of Victory. This year, however, I want to talk with you a little bit about another aspect of this beautiful day, this beautiful feast, and that is that it is a gift, a gift. And we often don't think of it that way, do we? That It is a privilege, a gift from God Almighty. And regarding gifts, the first thing perhaps I should say to you is this, whether you realize it or not, because you give gifts not just occasionally, but often in the course of your year, birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, retirements, and so on. You give gifts to your children, to your spouses, to friends, and so on. But did you know that each gift that you give is an expression of love, the love of the giver to the person to whom you give the gift? It is an expression of love. Why? Because, you see, with many gifts, you make them. And if you don't make them, you pay for them. But how did you get to pay? Surely with the money you've earned, by the labor that you have expended. And so in some measure, you are in your gift. And that's what makes it valuable. That's what makes it an object that a person whom you love and to whom you've given this gift wants to keep it as a memory. Whether it be great or small, expensive or not, that person keeps it as a keepsake, as a token of your love. You paid for, you have labored to give that person something of yourself. Perhaps it be something that he needs, or better, because I think that too often you give a gift to someone who needs something. That's fine. But you know what I think is better? When you give a gift of something that a person would like, that gives him pleasure. We can always go and get what we need. We don't need you to give it, except that you do, and that's fine. But what about thinking about something that a person might like? Maybe an upgrade. Instead of maybe a cow skin, maybe lambskin gloves. Something more valuable. Something that shows that you're thinking, that you care about him, that you want to give him some degree of happiness. A meal is the same thing, you know. When you invite someone to your table, you prepare that meal, you cook it, you see, with the food that you bought. You go to all the trouble of preparing it to be tasty and pleasing and good looking. You know, part of a good meal is that it looks pleasant. And in some measure, you are in that food. And that's why we get the expression, to break bread with me. Because I made this bread. I'm in there. And when you eat that food, you are taking me into yourself. It's a kind of communion. That explains why we have such a sacrament as Holy Communion. Because you see, it is a gift of love. And in fact, there is an expression that speaks of Holy Communion as the love feast. Well, you see, our Divine Lord does the same thing. Only with his gifts, which is, again, a gift of the love of God in the person of the Incarnate Word, second person of the Trinity, made man. It is as well a gift, but with God. When he gives a gift as an expression of his love for us, for you. It's not just a token, but he gives himself. And that's Christmas. It is the gift of God to us, himself. Not just any child, not any infant, not just a word that's shining, some token of some sort. It's him. His gifts are inimitable, beautiful. That is to say, that in this infant in the cave of Bethlehem, there is found the gift of love and the person of the Son of God made man. And that's what I would like you to know about this night, on this occasion, this year. He is God, the gift of God to us. I don't know if it occurs to you ever to thank him sincerely, with great warmth, for the gift of himself to us, to be with us, this infant, now a grown man. But he has come, you see, not only to be with us in person. Before the incarnation, God spoke to us through the prophets, the kings, to the judges. And when they heard these men speak, they knew that God Almighty was speaking to them. God told Moses, "You will be as God to them. When they hear you, they hear me." That's why they feared Moses. They revered him. They respected him. And his face, when he came down from the holy mountain, was so brilliant that he had to wear a veil to cover his countenance, because he saw the presence of God, not in the face, but just short of it. But then, with Christmas, God no longer spoke through other men. Now he speaks with us directly. When he opens his eyes, that's what impresses me the most about the incarnation. When he opens his eyes and you look into that face and look into those eyes, they are the eyes of God. And they come as a gift to you. To be with us. I have come, he says, that they may have life. Supernatural life. Divine life. And have it more abundantly. To promise heaven to you, your true home. And this is where it all began, in a cave outside the town of Bethlehem. To attain divine union with you, to remove all the obstacles that prevent you from reaching your true home in heaven. And that's the reason why he died on the cross. This gift of God to us, a gift of love, to destroy sin and death, yes, even death, removing all that fear because of his gift to us, a gift of love, to be our food. Consequently, when we offer our Holy Mass, the true Catholic Mass, and you come to the altar table, by the way, which is the communion rail. It is an extension of the altar, insofar as the altar, not only the place of sacrifice, but the table from which we feed on the flesh of the Son of God. That's why you see the altar rail looks just like the altar. We designed it that way so that you would know. You're coming right into the altar, there to receive the Son of God, you see, in the flesh, as a gift of love. There is no presence, no divine union, short of heaven, that is closer to God than the moment of Holy Communion. and it all began tonight. And so it is with this foretaste of heaven, that is the gift of the Savior, his gift to you. I wanted to tell this to you because, you see, you must be completely convinced that our faith is not simply a body of truths to be believed, or moral mandates to be observed, or laws to be obeyed. That's not what our faith is all about, although we do have a creed and moral mandates and so on, yes. But unlike all other religions, including the Far Eastern religions of Buddhism and Hinduism and so on, Mohammedanism, our faith is not based on laws or a remote God. It's based on a person, the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's based on that. And our love for him, because he has loved us first and has expressed it on this night for the first time vividly. That's why, you see, brethren, there's no excuse. No excuse for a person to commit the sin of despair. No excuse for a person to feel unwanted, unloved. Because, you see, he came for all of us, not only as a group, but individually. Yes, that too. When you speak to our Lord as if you're the only one, since our Lord is that powerful and that attentive. Lastly, there are in this world evil men filled with hatred and envy who want to control our world and the people on this planet by enslaving them through terrorism and wars and diseases and sicknesses that they create, and poverty and starvation. You see, even in our government, and yes, even in our divinely established church. Yes, it's true. They want to wipe away, since they have infiltrated these establishments. They want to wipe away the name of Jesus. They want you to forget this great gift of Christmas and the Incarnation. And, well, what is it for you? It is for you to resist and to fight. To fight, you see, these forces of evil for the sake of your own faith, your own peace of conscience, and for the sake of your children. And that's the reason why we are offering this Mass today. To renew once again the incarnation of Bethlehem that's right on our altar when the Son of Man comes again to renew for us here in this little chapel this gift of love. And so, on behalf then of all of us, me especially, as your Father in Christ, on behalf of all the fathers and the sisters, we extend to you not only our cordial greetings, but our love, the love of God, that we hope will keep you united around the altar, the true altar, so that you can appreciate better, love more fervently, the God of love, who gave his loving presence to us in this Holy Mass. Merry Christmas. May God bless you.